This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney. San Francisco's latest ban the box law took effect today. It means people who have been incarcerated cannot be asked about their criminal histories by most publicly funded housing providers or private employers in the city. One in four U.S. citizens has a criminal record, and it can be an impediment to finding a job. As part of our series on reentering society from prison, we're going to hear now from two formerly incarcerated men who are looking for work.
I got out November 1st, 2012.
Mm-hmm. I got out February 21st, 2013.
That's William Bennett and John Porter. To protect their identities, we're not using their real names. Both spent most of their adult lives in prison. Getting out means having to learn things most of us spend decades practicing, things like using the internet or using proper punctuation on a job application. Today, KALW's Louisa Beck reports on the challenges Bennett and Porter face in finding a job.
At the age of 51, William Bennett was one of the oldest people in California who could claim this.
My whole life, never had a job.
But in June 2013, 8 months after leaving prison, that was about to change.
Either Monday or Tuesday, I'll be working on the freeways. 580 or 880, picking up trash. First job ever.
He enrolled in the Golden State Works Initiative, which provides job training and placement services to parolees in Oakland. On the last day of his training, William and I met for breakfast.
Today is June 14th, my graduation day. We're sitting here in the Oakland City Civic Plaza.
What is the most challenging part of reentering?
Employment, finding employment. Being able to get paid enough to survive. Will this job allow me to continue working and be able to pay my rent? Or will I find a job that will lay me off?
William introduced me to many parolees who had similar questions and fears. People like John Porter.
I could find jobs all day long at $10 an hour. You know, $10, $12 an hour, $14 an hour, easy. You know, but to actually find a good job that's going to pay some money, that's been the roughest part.
John and I met in April at the Berkeley Rose Garden. Like William, he'd taken part in the GSW job training program, but he was having trouble finding work that paid a living wage.
If it's not anywhere between 19 to 25, you know, it's really hard to live because you're just going to be working to pay your rent.
On average, serving time reduces annual earnings by 40%.
One barrier is having a criminal record, and another barrier is just having many years of incarceration where you're out of the job market.
Catherine Katcher is executive director of Root and Rebound, a reentry advocacy center in Berkeley.
Even if people are involved in training programs inside of prison or in educational programs inside of prison, when they get out, there's a huge stigma against them. And because they've committed a crime, especially if it's a violent crime, they're going to find it extremely difficult to get any kind of gainful employment.
Some local governments have made it illegal for city contractors to ask an applicant about their criminal record on an interview form. But current state and federal law allows potential employers to reject formerly incarcerated people. Katcher says it can happen at any point.
In the application review, in interviews, in hiring, in promotions, and in termination decisions. Technically, they are supposed to do a kind of nexus test where they look at how recent that conviction is, the relationship of that kind of conviction to the job. But very few employers actually do that work.
John told me he'd recently been turned down from his old job as a school bus mechanic because of the felony on his record. He was getting frustrated.
I've been applying at AC Transit, the Port of Oakland, Muni, the City of San Francisco, the City of Oakland. You know, I've been applying everywhere, you know, trying to get a decent job.
While waiting to hear back, John was working several part-time jobs. As a mover, an installer, a welder, and a part-time ceramics instructor, he'd learned how to make pottery in a prison arts program. In May, we met up at Creations in Clay, a ceramics studio in Oakland.
So these ones here, those up there is mine, ones on that shelf.
He showed me bright, tall vases with blue, orange, and mother-of-pearl glazes that were displayed in the studio's small gallery. This is one place where he's not judged for his past, but admired for his skill as a teacher and an artist. But he's not paid enough money to live on.
Those I made in prison.
Like John, William worked part-time jobs while looking for permanent work.
My one job, I was working two and three jobs, you know, minimum wage. One was $9, another was $10, another was minimum wage. Now I don't have to work.
Some days, he drove a truck from 3 p.m. to 5 a.m. On other days, he transported cars for a car rental company, washed uniforms and rugs for an industrial cleaner, and worked as a security guard at nightclubs. But he kept networking, talking with contacts, and handing out business cards. And one day, he told his story at a fundraising event and impressed the chief executive director of Westside Community Services, a mental health agency in San Francisco. He got hired and started as a receptionist.
It's a big office. It has a coffee machine, lots of nice chairs, pillows, pictures of giraffes.
The job turned out to have surprising challenges. In prison, William had no access to the internet. So things like searching for online information, managing passwords, and using smartphones were completely new to him.
This is stressful, not knowing how to work this phone. It don't want to go sending a message.
Studies show that many formerly incarcerated people have significant educational and employment deficits. Roughly half lack a high school degree, and many depended on illegal income prior to incarceration. When they get out, they have a lot of catching up to do. Eventually, William transitioned into a role as a community liaison. Part of his new role includes reaching out to local parents and youth. We're at Wallenberg Traditional High School in San Francisco. William is here to speak to a group of students about his experiences growing up and in prison. Around 20 students and their teacher have gathered in the school library for their last men's group meeting of the year.
These kids are about 16, 17? Yeah, so this is when I went to prison. So it's like, this is when my life stopped.
The room becomes quiet as William begins his speech.
The reason why we're here today is because we're giving back to society. I was one of the first juveniles in the state of California to be tried as an adult. I was 17 years old.
William has found a job that lets him pay his bills and tell a story. But about half of people who have been incarcerated don't find jobs the first year out. And that's the case for John. He told me he decided to stop telling potential employers about his criminal history. Now, he says, he's close to landing a job as a full-time driver, not what he wants to do, but better than nothing. Yet, he's anxious a background check could end his employment at any time. For Cross Currents, I'm Louisa Beck.